Is the appetite back?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. We have not heard too much this last year or so about companies gobbling up other companies. But in the last couple of days, there's been a little flurry. Is it a sign of more to come? Marketplace's Elisa Roth reports.
Xerox is buying an outsourcing company for more than $6 billion. At the same time, the drug company Abbott Laboratories says it's buying a Belgian pharmaceutical. And that's just today.
It's better than last year when nothing was happening.
Bob Teitelman is editor of The Deal. He says these multi-billion dollar deals are strategic ones, with one big company buying up another one. But he says private equity firms aren't buying much, and it's still hard to raise money to buy things. He thinks it's much too soon to say that the market for mergers and acquisitions is back.
You got to take the longer view of these things. A few deals, even five or six deals, it's better than having, you know, absolutely nothing going on out there. But we're not back into the 2006-2007 period by any means.
Teitelman says high stock prices are actually making a lot of companies too expensive to buy, and that the rest of the economy will have to pick up before we see a real buying frenzy again. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Stock in Abbott Laboratories is up 3.5% this morning, but Xerox shares are down 16%. And another drug purchase, Johnson & Johnson has bought an 18% stake in the Dutch biotech Crucell. It's part of a flu vaccine development deal. That price tag, $444 million. Johnson & Johnson stock is up about 1%. The S&P 500 is much higher this morning. It's 1.75%. The NASDAQ is up more than 2%. And the Dow is ahead 139 points. It's at 9,804. European markets ended higher, with Germany's DAX up 2.5%. German Chancellor Merkel was re-elected last night, and this morning she said she's committed to cutting taxes. Asian markets fell today. Japan's index lost 2.5%. A rising yen there is making Japan's exports more expensive. Everybody wants to prevent the next meltdown, but if we are going to re-regulate our financial system, who takes the lead, the Fed or the Treasury? World Bank President Robert Zoellick is offering an answer this morning. Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports.
The leader of the World Bank is giving no slack to central bankers. Robert Zoellick says they've fallen down on the job and ignored risks that led to the financial crisis. So, when it comes to reforming the financial system, he says give more control to the U.S. Treasury. Zoellick's comments are part of a speech today at Johns Hopkins University. But economist Hugh Johnson is already critical.
You have to have individuals that are in a regulatory position that understands the very complex workings of Wall Street and the products of Wall Street, credit default swaps, derivatives. And when they see things become excessive, that they're willing to call a halt to some of the excesses. I'm just not confident that those individuals exist at Treasury.
Johnson says the Federal Reserve should take charge, and that's what President Obama wants as well. Still, the Fed is only a quasi-governmental organization. On the other hand, Congress oversees the Treasury, so our government may be better able to oversee the overseer if the Treasury had a bigger role in regulating those large financial institutions. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place, LendingTree.com. And by Monsanto, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields without increasing demands on natural resources. More at ProduceMoreConserveMore.com.
Last week was a tough one for the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Two big utilities announced they're leaving the trade group because of what they see as the chamber's strident opposition to a climate bill working its way through Congress. As Marketplace's Steve Henn reports, environmentalists and others are questioning whether the chamber's president can be an honest broker in this debate.
For more than a decade, the president of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, Tom Donahue, has also served on Union Pacific's board of directors. The railroad has rewarded Donahue with stock options worth more than $1 million. And as part of his service, Donahue's agreed to abide by Union Pacific's policy on conflicts of interest. Basically, directors there
may not engage in any activities or conduct that are contrary to the best interests of Union Pacific.
Pete Altman is at the Natural Resources Defense Council.
Then you have to wonder, is Mr. Donahue complying with that directive from Union Pacific and only allowing decisions that are in that company's best interests?
This matters to Altman because Union Pacific has a big stake in the climate debate. Roughly 20% of its revenue comes from hauling coal, and the company is lobbying to oppose the climate bill. But many other members of the Chamber of Commerce have taken very different positions. And Beth Young, with the independent research firm The Corporate Library, says that's problematic for Donahue.
There would always be sort of a nagging suspicion that his interests as a director of that outside corporation were influencing him in his role at the chamber.
I can tell you it's never been an issue for our membership.
David Chavern is the chief operating officer at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
Our membership does not see the conflict of interest, and it's their interests that are at stake here.
But debate over the chamber's climate policy has been intense. Johnson & Johnson and Nike have both publicly criticized the chamber's stance. Then last week, two big utilities, including PG&E, actually quit the chamber because of what they said was the group's, quote, extreme rhetoric and obstructionist tactics. Beth Young says Tom Donahue clearly has a problem.
If I were in his position, I would probably see resigning from the Union Pacific board as the cleanest way of dealing with the problem.
And if Donahue doesn't resign, Young believes the chamber should force him to. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
And finally, the World Conquer Championships have raised more than $500,000 for charity. So it's sad to hear new allegations of Conquer tampering. Conquers is a British game where you use a horse chestnut seed, that's your Conquer, to shatter other people's Conquers. You can see it happen at our website, marketplace.org. Well, an upcoming tournament's been rocked by charges of artificial Conquer hardening by means of baking, varnishing, even soaking Conquers in vinegar. While the latest allegations are disturbing, they are not new. In 1993, the Conquer authorities found tampering signs, and they disqualified ex-Monty Python member Michael Palin. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. The Dow's up 141 points. Have a good Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.